It's
there's a lot of cool stuff inside that only the MME2 members will probably ever know about, and that's one of them.
So what do you, now with MME2, is it the same type of thing that you did with MME1? It runs for 10 days and that's it?
Yeah, the initial sale process, yeah.
What we wanted to do, obviously by having this run for a set amount of time, the MME1 was back last November, sort of November 2005.
Uh-huh.
But that site, we had, you know, the doors were open for people to come in for 10 days. The same with MME2 in June, the doors were open for 10 days,
uh-huh.
and then we shut the doors. But those sites, both of those sites are still active, and the people that joined at the time, you know, are still using those sites.
Yeah,
right.
But access to them was limited.
Okay.
Really, what we wanted to do was to sort of fill the sites very quickly with members and keep to a set number, really, because if you get more than 1,000 people inside a site, for example, support becomes an issue.
Right.
The amount of people set, because there are a lot of products in MME2, we thought that 1,000 people was a good cap, because people could go off and promote all different things. So say if one person promoted one particular product, and you'd only end up with maybe like 90 or 100 people promoting that particular product,
yeah.
as opposed to as 1,000 people promoting that product. So we thought, well, if we leave membership open and let more and more people come in, it does reduce the effectiveness for the people that are already in there. So basically we left the doors open for 10 days, said come in, you know, or don't, and then at the end of the 10 days shut the doors and said, okay, no one else is getting in. I mean,
right.
we could have probably, over the last few months, probably sold the same number of memberships again, but we wanted to limit it.
Excellent. So is that the same idea that we're doing with MME3?
Yes. We're going to do...
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, something similar. I don't think we're going to run it for 10 days this time. People are going to have to be a little bit sharper to get in.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Simon was thinking 3 days, but I'm thinking seven. I don't know. It's going to be shorter than 10, yeah.
You have the next 24 hours, and that's it. So what kind of, if you don't mind me asking, what are the figures? I mean, you got $150,000 on MME. What did MME2 do? How much money did it bring in?
Well, I was going to say, I think...
Yeah.
So go on, Jeremy. Do you want to cover that? There'll be the technical stuff.
Okay. Well, the price is a bit higher in MME2. It's $697
uh-huh.
For a lifetime membership. Of course, they've got a lot more than they did with MME1. So, the price increased. We did a lot of things that we really go into on Marketing Explosion. Find that on marketingexplosion.com. A lot of things that we did that we haven't seen a lot of people do in launches. One thing, Terry, that's kind of interesting is we did over $100,000 in our pre-launch for MME2.
You made $100,000 in your pre-launch?
Before we started. Opened, yeah.
Okay, how did you do that?
Well,
go to marketingexplosion.com.
Go to marketingexplosion.com. But in a nutshell, we did some bonuses on some big promotions throughout 2006. We did one big promotion, I think it was January 2006, where we offered people MME2 as a bonus. Now, we hadn't even created MME2 at the time. It was just in development stages.
Right.
That was a bonus for anybody who bought this product from us, and it was pretty high commission, so the profit margin was there, so we were able to do that. And what we wanted to do is kind of get some people in MME2 to kind of test things out for us also before we launched. And that generated, it was around $50,000 in sales, so we split that on commissions. And I think it was like $25,000 in commissions, and we split that. And then we also offered... I'll be very brief on this, but I do want to tell people what we did. Is that okay, Simon? You want to talk about the pre-launch sale?
Yeah,
or not?
Yeah, fine, yeah.
Okay, all right. One thing we did that I think a lot of people are really missing out on is give your current customer base, give them the opportunity to buy your next product at a discount. And that's what we did. We gave our MME1 members opportunity to get MME2 at a little bit of a discount because they were qualified customers. They'd already paid $297 for this product. And we're like, well, hey, guys, you know, you're loyal customers. You know, you had faith in us on MME1. Well, here's your opportunity to get MME2 at a little bit less than if, but here's the key. You can't get in until launch day to use the products, and we really can't show you everything that's in there.
So they're buying they're buying your trust.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So
which I think is important to say that we probably won a lot of that because we over delivered big time on MME1.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's very important. If people don't know who you are, to basically do what we did and say, we can't really tell you everything that's in here, just that it's bloody good.
Yeah.
Give us your money. it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I think because we've built up that trust and we had that prior relationship with people, which is very important,
then it
worked very well for us.
Yeah, we did around, let's see, I think it was 40 or something, 30,000, 40,000 pre-sales. No, it was, wait a second. I think it was 30 or 40,000 in just the pre-sales. Or was it 6? No, I'm forgetting the audio site. Yeah, that's what I was forgetting.
But it's substantial, though.
Well,
I mean, that's a substantial number on a pre-launch of not even actually having a product that you're selling yet.
Yeah, that's right. The product didn't theoretically exist, and we made over $100,000 with it. I mean, I think if you add, not to go into too much detail, I don't want a tax man listening to this, but basically, if you combine MME1. MME2, the audio site, which we can touch on. I mean, there's probably over, I think on the audio site there's probably 12,000 members plus in there, and we've hardly promoted that. But on the main paid sites, we've got sort of like 1,500 plus members, and it's in that 8-month period, it's probably, just a little bit shy of $1 million.
Yep.
Wow. And so that's including your 12,000 members plus this other 1,500 members.
Yes, but
so you're looking at 15,000 members, or less than 15,000 members,
that
made you $100,000 in a pre-launch.
Yes.
Wow. That's phenomenal. I'm speechless. No, that is incredible. So then, how did you go about? I mean, you've got the whole package together then, and you're going. I kind of interrupted you, Jeremy. Were you? You're still going there.
No, it's fine. Simon kind of finished it off there. I was just going to say, indirect and indirect sales, because we used some bonus things, and the audio site was actually a pre-launch tool, which one thing a lot of people haven't done, instead of giving people a free report or a free video or something, we made a membership site, and that was a tool during the pre-launch to help build a list, get the buzz going, and help kind of kick off MME2. And at the same time provide people with a lot of good content. And so it was a tool that also generated another 30,000 in sales for us during the pre-launch. So it's
phenomenal.
A lot of things kind of came together. It was a pretty good deal there.
So
I was just going to say, Terry, that's one of the things for people listening. The thing that is very, very powerful when you're wanting to, maybe get started building a list or promoting something, as Jeremy said, a lot of people are sort of giving away a free book or a free report or a PDF file.
Uh-huh.
And there is so much free stuff out there that it loses any real effectiveness. We both feel that. And what we wanted to do, something different on MME2. So as Jeremy said, we actually created an entire membership site as a pre-launch tool. Now, I know you get people that say you should do a video maybe, or you should create a pre-launch blog, or et cetera, et cetera. We actually created an entire membership site as a warmer too. And
it's located at audio.marketingmanagement2.com.
Phenomenal.
I mean, that site became viral. On its own, made us, $30,000, and, recruited 12,000 plus people. I mean, it's still going and it's still working away now. I don't think Jeremy and I sent an email to anybody about it since March.
Uh-huh.
And there's still probably how many a month coming into that site, Jeremy?
A couple hundred come in every month, and probably about 1,000 in sales every month, and we don't do anything.
So it's
fantastic.
It's just completely automatic. Yeah. But what it did do was sort of put 11,500-12,000 people at the time, it may have been 11,000 people back in June, put those people into our sort of sphere, if you will.
Yeah.
And what people realised was that because we were giving them all this valuable information, I mean, what we did, we took the survey results and Jeremy and I sort of went through each and every question, and then we answered them in the survey call. So we talked about marketing mindset, we talked about affiliate marketing, talked about list building, and gave that content away for free. It was a $200, $300 product, and we gave people access to that for nothing to build that pre-warmer list for MME2.
Wow.
Right. So most people would have sold something like that for $200. We just gave it away, basically.
You guys are probably two of the most generous people I've ever met. So how did you go about the actual marketing then? I mean, you've got obviously your list. You developed the list. And then what else? Where did you go from there?
Well, we incorporated, because we had the time on MME2,
mm-hmm.
It gave us a lot more time to market and build a buzz in the pre-launch. I mean,
right.
Jeremy can give you some of the things that we did. On the marketing side, do you want to just run through some of the things that we actually integrated?
Sure, a couple things we did was we started generating JV partners about 4 or 5 months before we launched, actually.
Wow.
Whereas a lot of people, I get emails all the time, people, hey, I'm launching a product next week, here's my affiliate link, sign up. I'm like, get out of here, I'm like, come on, you got to give me some notice here. So I know people are busy, and we're busy, and I know everybody's busy, so we sponsored some seminars, actually. We sponsored, I think it was a JV Alert seminar, we sponsored something by Joel Christopher, I think, some cruise or something, and we sponsored a few different events.
So how does that work? What do you sponsor?
Well, what we did was everybody who attended those seminars could see our JV page, and they could sign up as a JV partner. We figured, well, if they're going to spend $500 or $1,000 to go to a seminar, they're a qualified JV partner. They must be serious about making some money online. So we gave them a chance to sign up as our partners, and we got some good partners from those seminars. And then, just our current JV partners from MME1, I sent everybody a personal email, and I was like, hey guys, we're doing MME2, do you want in? Here's a link. We'd be happy to have you. And so a lot of, I suppose probably half or maybe 75% of the JV partners from MME1 also helped us on MME2. And then I kind of contacted some more people that maybe I hadn't talked to in a while, or maybe some new contacts I had developed over the course of time. And Simon did the same. He developed some new relationships, and we just we got some more people on board. And then we also got a hold of Mike Mertz, which he did a real good job as a JV broker, and he brought in a lot of good partners. And if anybody's going to do a real big launch, it's really helpful to have a JV broker involved. And he did a real good job. And I really credit a lot of our success to our JV partners. They did a lot of sales. Our top affiliate, Michael Rosmussen, he just did a phenomenal job. And wasn't just him, though. It was all of our affiliates. They just did great. I mean, we had so many people doing, four figures. We had several people do five-figure, commission checks. It was really nice to see those big payoffs for people come back to them. And so we had enough time built up. We had enough of a buzz built up for our partners to get on board and kind of get things going for them. So, but a lot of it we did it kind of secretively. We didn't really do any big announcements until about a month before launch.
Uh-huh.
A lot of it was private, the several months before that. So that was a lot of the marketing aspect. And of course our own list, we sent emails to our own list and things like that. We created all the tools for our partners to use, the email, the pre-written emails, the banners, the text links, all that stuff. But we really encouraged them to, write their own reviews. And the ones that did that, of course, they were They showed on the sales results. We also had a contest. Now we see a lot of people nowadays doing contests, but when we did a contest for Marketing Main Event 1, not a lot of people were doing contests. And if they were, the top prize was like $1,000 or something.
Yeah.
So on Marketing Main Event 1, our top prize was $2,500 in cash.
Wow.
Which is a good incentive. Yeah, it was a good incentive for people to be the top affiliate. Even second place was $1,000. And that was Marketing Main Event 1. Marketing Main Event 2, the top prize was $5,000 cash. So that made it a little more incentive for people to go for that number one spot. The number two spot was $2,500. The number three was $1,000. You know, sometimes I see promotions where they're giving away these, you know, maybe little prizes or something, or we'll give you a $25, you know, coupon or something. It's like, you know, come on.
I actually saw something the other day, and it was like, you know, first prize is a mouse. And you think, I think for people that are running affiliate programs, you know, you see all sorts of stuff, you know, win a colour TV and all the rest of it. But to be honest, I think most people are attracted by the prospect of cold hard cash, and you know, that's what we've always, I think we've always used. Occasionally, we've toyed with the idea. I mean, sometimes, you know, I thought, well, wouldn't it, you know, let's give the top affiliate on MME free. Let's give them an all inclusive trip to Vegas or something like that. But I think that would serve more as a publicity stunt than it would as an incentive for people to go out and really promote.
Yeah.
Especially if whoever's the top affiliate maybe lives next door. I'm sure they'd rather have $10,000 or $5,000 in cash.
Yeah, so we had a real good affiliate program set up with a contest and you know, a pre-launch buzz. So anybody who's doing any kind of a launch, those are good ideas to do. If you're going to have a contest, have it worthwhile. You know, make it worthwhile for people.
Now, what about when you go out and try to contact a joint venture partner? How do you go about? Do you send them an email? Do you call them? What's kind of your pitch or your way of doing things?
Quite aggressively.
Okay, use me as an example. If you were after me, for example, how would you contact me, or what would you say?
Well, now I have your contact details. I'll be getting in touch more, Terry. And, you know, and just hassling you and miving your contact.
Great.
I think a big thing to it is, You've got to help people first. You know, I mean, I and Jeremy and you as well, Terry, we get JV invitations all the time. I mean, I've turned down 6 this week.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it can be up to a dozen a week, and you just haven't got the time to promote something for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think one of the keys to it is, you know, I hear a lot people complain that, oh, well, you know, you can never get to JV partner with one of the well-known internet marketers. And I see that people say that a lot. Well, the thing is, and it's like, oh, it's a club and they all promote for each other.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, that's a little bit true, but it's because they have a relationship with those people already. You know, they've met those people at various seminars or they've worked together on various things in the past. And if you have that relationship with somebody where you can trust somebody in a way, I mean, well, that's a big thing. You know, if somebody, as you've worked with somebody before, and you know that they're going to look after the customers well, you know that they're going to create good products for people, you know ultimately those products are going to sell, then it's a lot easier of a step to take to promote something for somebody.
Exactly.
So I would say to people that, you know, don't have those contacts. Work on building those contacts. You don't need to have a product to sell to start getting into touch with people. You know, maybe join somebody's affiliate program and sell a lot of products for them.
Uh-huh.
Or create something that complements one of their products. And all those things help develop those relationships. And then when it comes to it, when you need assistance yourself, then you can say, well, you know, would you help me? And people feel much more at ease promoting something with you and working with you if they know who you are and what you're about. You know, I mean, I get some crazy emails from people saying, you know, I'll pay you 15% commission. You know, this is a product and it's going to do X, Y, and Z. And it launches in about 3 hours' time. I used to reply to every one of those emails because I was in that position myself 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I never sent anything as stupid as that out, but that's what people do send you.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, I think right now, I mean, what are we now? We're sort of mid-October.
Uh-huh.
I have promotions lined up and things of my own and other people's that I've agreed that I will promote probably until the new year.
Wow.
And you just cannot sort of either reply to them all. I mean, I do read everything, but I just don't have the time to reply. If I replied to every email I got, you know, I wouldn't have time to run a business.
Yeah.
And people have to realise that. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, you maybe just reply back and say, I'm sorry, it looks good, but I can't promote it for you. And you get a snotty email back from somebody. Well, they go on your shit list, and you're never going to promote something. Because you think, well, that's a bad attitude. And that attitude will transfer into the real relationships with the customers. And Jeremy and I recognise... one of the most important things that you can do as a marketer is look after your customers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so out of the 10 people that ask for you to promote something, maybe one gets through.
Yeah.
Because the rest either aren't a good enough fit for the people that are on your list, or they're just not good enough for them. And I think... you know, people say, well, it's, you know, it's like a marketing club. Well, the way to get into that club is to do something first. You know, don't expect somebody with a list of 25 or 100,000 people to say, oh yeah, of course I don't mind promoting your product for 15%, because it just isn't going to happen, because those people have worked for years to build those resources up.
Yeah.
And people have to realise that, you know, you've got to give value first, like we said with this secret audio site. Show people that you're with it, or you're good for it, before you ask for anything.
Right.
Right, right. Real good point, Simon, because I was just going to add something that anybody who's doing anything online, you know, anybody who has a list, can sell anything they want. All right? So, that, you know, finding a product to sell is not the issue. The issue is, you know, finding a reliable product and a person, you know, a company who's going to take care of the customers, and finding something that'll fit your list. If you want to JV with somebody, create some content first that'll help that potential JV partner out first. You know, become a member of that potential JV partner's list yourself first. Become a member of their site, buy their product, promote their products, help them out first, you know, and then, you know, maybe give them something that'll help their customers out. You know, say, hey, you know, I just created this new membership site. I normally charge for it, but hey, would you want to offer this for free as a gift to your paid customers? Or, hey, I just wrote this report, but I'm not going to let anybody else give it away except you. Would you want to give it to your list? Or, you know, hey, I just made this new audio. I think it might help your people out. Would you like to give it to them? You know, and then, oh, and by the way, there's a one-time offer where, you know, you're going to make a commission, you know, if anybody upgrades, but it's just a soft sell, you know, and, you know, things like that will get people's attention more than say, hey, I'm launching a product this Friday, you know, you're going to make 50% commission, you're going to make a $10,000, you know, so give me a break. So, you know, it's just the way to approach things. And JVs take time. It's not going to happen in a week. You know, relationships have to develop first. You know, you have to kind of go somewhere first with it. And once you have a relationship with somebody, anytime you come out with a new product in the future, they're going to probably listen to you. They might say no, but at least they'll hear you out, you know. So, you know, a lot of them will say maybe no, but I'll, you know, keep me informed for your next one. You know, and that's fine. You know, everybody's busy. But you've got to get that relationship first. So, yeah, some exclusive club is not true at all. I had zero contacts like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I made tons of cold calls. I did all by email. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it, you know, people should just go and do it. They shouldn't complain about it or give up or whatever. Just go about it professionally, and, you know, it's anything's possible.
Oh, that's super. Just kind of to back up one step, you had said that you sponsor seminars. What kind of details are involved there? How would I, for example, you know, myself or someone else, sponsor a seminar? Just for an example, Ken MacArthur just had a seminar, JV Alert seminar. What would I do? Say to Ken?
Yeah.
How does it? How do?
Well, I guess you could just ask Ken. I did that, but I remember the first. I think it was the first JV Alert one he did, like about a year ago. He was actually selling sponsorships, but I'm a member of JV Alert, and he was offering. You know, he just had a link where, hey, you can go become a sponsor for our event, and I just went and bought a spot, and it was pretty easy. And then after that, I emailed him personally and said, hey, I bought a sponsorship for your event, and, you know, can I do this or can I do that? And asked him some questions, and we kind of emailed back and forth and got it set up how we wanted it. And then another one, I think it was Joel Christopher, he asked me if I wanted to be a speaker, and I was like, sorry, I can't make it, but I would like to sponsor your event. So I threw that at him. You know, I don't think he even had a sponsorship, but I just offered it to him, and he's like, yeah, that sounds interesting. So, you know, you can just offer people, if they're having an event, say, hey, would it be possible for me to sponsor your seminar, you know?
And what does it mean for the people whenever they get to the seminar? What is it that, I mean, you sponsored the seminar, do they get a brochure, or what is it?
Yeah, we created a little brochure, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. I sent Ken a PDF where he could just print out and pass out to the people, and I also sent him a link where he could give to people also, so they could do it online or physically. Ideally, you would be at the event too, and you know, you could pass it out and have a little booth. I think Ken was letting people have their own little booth,
right,
and they could go to the event. I just couldn't make it, and so I had to do it, you know, away from the event.
Right.
But you know, if you have a few bucks, you know, just call, you know, just, you know, talk to, what's the next big one coming? I think Armand or something. You know, call him up, say, hey, do you have a sponsorship available for your seminar? You know, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. If he does, he does. You know, it's that kind of thing. Just call people up and ask them, really. There are a lot of different ways to go about things. You know, pretty much, another incentive would be maybe a second tier program where you say, hey, could I sponsor your event? And if, you know, I'll give you a link to use where anybody who signs up as a JV partner will be under you. You'll make a 10% override. That's kind of throwing in a sponsorship and a JV broker opportunity to them. So, right, you know, there are different ways to do things like that.
I think the big thing is, though, Terry, it's just to ask. You know, it surprises me a lot of times. I mean, coming from, you know, offline sales, where you got nothing unless you asked, to how few people, you know, my day as a sales manager was going seeing companies and speaking to companies on the phone. And a lot of people approach internet marketing as though it's a whole different world, and in reality, it's a far easier to do that. You have email, you have Skype or MSN or on all these different things, so you've got millions of communication opportunities, and people just don't seem to take them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, going back to the sort of the JV thing again, there isn't just six people in the world that you could do JVs with. You know, there are thousands of people that you could do JVs with, and I think people sometimes think, wow, you know, if I don't get, you know, if I don't get Simon or if I don't get Jeremy to help me promote this, my whole world is lost. it's just rubbish. I mean, there are a thousand marketers out there that can help you get sales, and you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a beautiful point, because I think a lot of the time people have the perspective, especially if they're, you know, not so experienced online, that, you know, there's just no way for them to contact you or no way to contact Jeremy, and you know, how could they possibly talk to guys that are making $1 million a year, that kind of thing, or they don't actually realize that, you know, we're normal guys. You know, you could talk to us on the phone, you could talk to us on Skype. It's not like we live in some ivory tower.
But I mean, it's, you know, we all crap on the pot, don't we? All right, people have different levels of defences around them. You know, some people, I mean, but it's only like in any business. If you're trying to get an appointment with an offline company, you know, some guys you can go and you can make an appointment with the MD because he's the guy that picks the phone up. And some companies you've got to go through a bank of PAs and sort of assistants to get there. But if you have a good offer, if what you've created is good and it helps them and it helps their customers, you know, if you've created that magic triangle, that win-win-win,
yep.
then unless the guy or whoever it is just too busy, it's going to appeal to them no matter who you are. And if you can prove that what you say is good and what you've done is good and it creates that win-win-win, then people will give you, you know, they'll give you the chance to make a pitch to them.
Yeah, as an example, I think a lot of people know who Mark Joyner is. I don't think he had any idea who I was, but I approached him with an offer, and he took me up on it. And, you know, he replied back to me personally. And he did review my business first, he told me that, and
yeah.
then he got back to me. He wanted to check me out first. And we set up integrated marketing where, you know, we promote each other's sites passively for long-term results. And
how do you do that?
Well, I let Mark give all of his paid members a free silver membership to my site, and then I recommend his site to all my members. I have
right.
a permanent link on my site, so he's constantly getting new members. I'm constantly getting new members, so it's a win-win situation there. And at the same time, you know, people joining those sites are getting good content. I did the same thing with Mike Filsaime and a few other marketers who I set up a lot of different things privately that nobody knows about.
Right.
You know, except me and the dogs. seriously. And, it's just, you just got to ask people, you know, and all they can say is no. And if they say, yeah, cool, you know.
Now, Mark Joyner is a good example. How did you get in contact personally with Mark Joyner?
Well, I joined his site, and I really liked it, number one. And, you know, it was a Simpleology. And I went through all the videos and the content, and I just thought it was a really, really cool site, and I really wanted to offer his site to my members as well. And I was starting to build up Surefire Wealth, so I had a little bit of leverage. Not a lot, but a little bit. It's kind of still in the beginning stages for me. But I just contacted him. I think I went to his About Us homepage or something, or his maybe use his web forum. I'm trying to think now. But I think I go to his assistant first, and then she kind of said, yeah, Mark reviewed your offer, he reviewed your business, and he'd like to talk to you, you know, further discussion. I was like, cool. So, you know, I sent him an email back, and you know, Mark kind of emailed me back and a couple times, and it was done, you know. And he's like, okay, yeah, cool, just do this and that and blah, blah, blah. And for a long-term relationship, it worked out nice, because for MME2, all I did is say, you know, Mark, we got a pretty cool launch coming up. Can you help us out? We think we can give your members some good content on a call. So the day before Marketing Made Event launched, Simon and I did a call, live call with Mark, and that was pretty fun. And we gave his listeners some solid content for an hour. And Mark also pulled out the winner for the free Marketing Made Event 2 membership. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, and it was a is good for, you know, building relationships.
That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think you guys have touched on really kind of the whole key of it is building that relationship. Because I think a lot of people, you know, they read joint venture books and you know, watch joint venture videos and whatnot and cut it out and get in their mind that exactly like you're saying, Simon, send you a joint venture offer that's, you know, coming up in 3 hours, you know, and from somebody who you've never heard of in your life.
Well, and the other thing as well, I mean, you must get these as well. I think probably 18 months, 2 years ago, there was some software doing the rounds that basically spat out auto-generated JV proposals.
Yeah.
And people that use something like that aren't people that I'd want to do business with in the first place, because if somebody hasn't even got the time to write an email, you know, what are they going to do with the people that I send them as customers? You know, is the customer going to get some auto-generated, I'm sorry, your account's been closed, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you think, well, you know, this is the start of a beautiful relationship between our two companies, and you can't be bothered to write it yourself, so trash.
I've gotten JV proposals that said dear surefirewealth.com.
whoever whoever you are that runs this site, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's personal.
Those get a delete button in about 1 second.
So, oh, yeah. God. Yeah, no, that's so, wild. Yeah. So what's coming up next for you guys? Is MME3 the next big product, or do you have about 30 or 40 different products before that, Simon?
Well, yeah, we've a few things, but I mean the main one for us, which we launch very soon, is Marketing Explosion, which is going to give people really. I mean, we've covered a lot in this call. I mean, some of the things that we've talked about, we also cover in Marketing Explosion, and we're going to. You know, for some people, probably the nitty gritty and some of the mechanics of what we did to create those sites. I mean, if you think about it, really, what we did. I mean, Jeremy and I, neither of us are super rocket scientist gurus. We can do what probably 90% of the population can do, and I think people listening to what we did and how we did it could do the same. You know. Or even better, you know. I mean, so we wanted to share that information with people because we know there are a lot of people out there that you know that are marketing online and don't make a lot of money. So we want to give people the facts, not some strategy that hasn't been proven to work. You know, we will tell people exactly what we did. So that's going to be a Marketing Explosion. And then obviously then we've got Marketing Main Event 3, which we're working on right now. We just completed another survey. We followed the same pattern that we used for MME2, and I think we've got probably 4,500-5,000 answers to sort of start reading through, haven't we?
Wow.
Next week, Jeremy,
have a busy weekend here.
Beautiful.
So, our coffee suppliers are sort of rubbing their hands because the share price has just gone up, I think. But that's some of the things. And we've got a couple of other big things coming up in 2007 as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we've covered an absolute... I don't know how to describe it. It's huge, a huge amount of information from both you guys. Do you have any last words of advice before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I think people. I mean, one of the biggest tips for me that somebody ever gave to me is find a hungry crowd and feed it, and then keep feeding it. I think that's important. So if you're going out to create a product that people want, you know, that there's a market for. Whatever it is, you know, I mean, we've talked extensively about internet marketing, but the world's a very big world, and there are a lot of interests and a lot of people that are interested in you know, internet marketing probably appeals to 1.0% of the population. So there are a lot of things that online that interest people. So people should go, you know, and look at the world around them and see where there is marketing opportunities. And then the other thing, because it's very sort of, I think it's very important for me, is go and learn how to be a good copywriter, learn how to write sales copy, because the magic you can create with a pen or a keyboard is, you know, is incredible.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, definitely. If I could just add a couple things on that. Number one, you know, some people just come online and say, I want to make money. That's not a goal. You need to set your goals. Figure out what you want to do first, and if you don't know what you want to do yourself, how can anybody help you out? So, number one, you need to figure out what you want to do. You know, everybody has different strengths, weaknesses, what, you know, different ways they want to go. So, find out what you like doing, where's your passion, where's your desire, and go with that. Then go into that field and find things that you can improve on, find gaps in the market, take surveys, you know, find out what people want. You know, create products and membership sites and services and things that are needed and people will pay for, you know, and, you know, build your list from day one of your business. Once you figure out what you want to do, is build your list and start building your business. And, you know, don't just create a product or something. Build a business, you know. Figure out your exit strategy, where you want to be a year from now, where you want to be 5 years from now, you know. You've got to figure things out, you know, lay it all out, and, you know, stop treating, you know, your online incumbents just some little hobby, and I want to make it, you know, $100,000 a day. It's not going to happen. You know, get serious about it, and if you do get serious about it and set your goals and build a business, it will happen. And always think positive. You know, your subconscious mind is always directing yourself. And if you're always thinking positive and thinking about set goals, those goals will become reality.
That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic information and advice from both you guys. I want to thank you both very, very much for taking the time to be with us today and sharing an absolute plethora of information that that really gives the details of how to really start making some money online and be successful. I want to thank you as well for listening. It's been a pleasure being here with Jeremy Gislason and Simon Hodgkinson from Marketing Main Event 1, 2, and coming up 3, and myself, Terry Telford from thebusinessprofessional.com. Thanks very much for your time.